Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Thanks for watching. First on the docket today, a Louisiana case that is an attack on our criminal justice system. Second, neighbor disputes never end well. Third, Oregon decriminalizes small amounts of street drugs, good or bad. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and then hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. We would greatly appreciate it. Now, do not forget, tonight is our Tuesday night live, followed by our Patreon live. So 6 p.m. Mountain Time is when we start. We'll go for about an hour. Then we'll go straight into our Patreon members, where usually we have something special, and you can also call in and talk with me about anything you would like to talk about. So if you're not a Patreon member, please hit the link below and sign up today so you can get that link for this evening. All right, first on the docket, a Louisiana case that is an attack on the justice system. Okay, we have mentioned this in the past. One of the fundamental principles of our judicial system is that victims and witnesses have to be kept safe. You can't go retaliating against witnesses in a case. If that were allowed to take place, it would completely undermine our criminal justice system. Victims and witnesses need to be safe, not only before they testify in court, but while they're testifying in court, and then thereafter. That's why the penalties for intimidating or tampering with a witness is so severe in most jurisdictions, because we can't have people trying to manipulate the system that way. Well, guess what? People in the criminal justice system, usually in custody, often refer to a quick little saying that says, no face, no case. What that means is that if the person making the allegations, if there's only one or two people there, points their finger at somebody, if they don't show up for court and can't make the identification, which is absolutely necessary in court, the case will normally be dismissed. But you can't go about it by harming witnesses, intimidating witnesses not to show up. Well, this case in Louisiana is an attack on our criminal justice system. So we have this guy by the name of Beau Cormier. He is 35 years old, and he is accused of sexually assaulting his niece. So what does Beau Cormier do? He hires a couple of his friends, Andrew Eskine and Dalvin Wilson. And what does he hire them to do? To go get rid of his niece. Okay? His niece, for goodness sakes. Wasn't bad enough that there's allegations that he's doing inappropriate things with a child, his niece. Now he hires people to go and try to get rid of her. Well, let's just say things didn't go as planned, but it still turned out very ugly. When Wilson and Eskine go to the residence of Mr. Cormier's niece, they knock on the door. And apparently they may have tried one other time, but it didn't quite work out that way. So they go to the front door, ask for the niece. The mother says, I'm the niece. And guess what? A fight, a struggle ensues. But unfortunately, the mother is killed by Erskine and Wilson. And what's even more tragic is that a neighbor was also killed in the attack. Brittany Cormier was killed, as well as Hope Nettleton, who is the neighbor. We do know that Erskine and Wilson both have confessed to their involvement, and Mr. Cormier has also been arrested, and they are all being held in custody on a $2 million bond. Now, we will give all three of these individuals the presumption of innocence, but as the district attorney says, this is a case where he believes that he can get a conviction, and he is not taking the death penalty off the case. The states that still have the death penalty, one of the aggravating factors is killing of a witness. You can't do that. What will complicate the case against Mr. Cormier regarding the allegations against his niece is I'm sure that the niece is going to be absolutely traumatized based upon what's already allegedly taken place, and then obviously the death of her mother. Brittany Cormier, the mother, must have realized that something was not correct when she identified herself as the daughter and knew, more than likely, that things may not end well, but she was going to do that to protect her daughter. We'll continue to follow that case just because I think it's going to be very interesting. And even with confessions by two of the three co-defendants, and it's unclear exactly how much these co-defendants were hired for, but as we learned the other day in Oklahoma, it's worth about $500. We'll see if these two individuals, Mr. Wilson and Mr. Eskine, received a lot of money for a life-changing event that will result in them more than likely spending the rest of their life in prison if they're lucky. Next on the docket, neighbor disputes. They never, ever end well. One of the cases that I have to think long and hard about taking these days are neighbor disputes. They always turn out to be petty. They usually result in some sort of violence, and it's just ridiculous, and it's a lot less expensive for somebody just to move away. That's exactly what we have here in Pennsylvania. And this neighbor dispute that took place in Plains Township in Pennsylvania has resulted in three people being shot and killed. Neighbors outside shoveling snow witnessed the shooting. They said they heard screaming, quickly followed by 8 to 12 gunshots. One neighbor said the gunfire came from two different firearms, which was confirmed by police. What they know is they have at least two victims, three bodies in total in an apparent murder-suicide. It was a dispute among neighbors, according to the police, and it's unclear exactly what that dispute was about. But the authorities have identified the victims as James Goy and his wife, Lisa Ann Goy, and the perpetrator as Jeffrey Spade. He was 47 years old. An absolutely senseless crime that took place there in Pennsylvania over what? Shoveling snow? What were they doing? Putting the snow in the wrong spot? Coming too close? Didn't do a sidewalk? Are you kidding me? If that's what the dispute was about, that's absolutely unbelievable, and it's just absolutely disgusting. But it is a good transition into crimetalksearch.com. Please go there. If you have a neighbor, maybe you're not sure about, maybe you think they act a little weird, maybe if you're going to have that neighborhood dispute with them, you should probably have a better idea with whom you are going to be dealing with. Go to crimetalksearch.com and you sign up for a background subscription service, and you will be able to search anyone here in the United States. Literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. You're going to get information regarding criminal history, whether somebody is a registered sex offender, property records, bankruptcy records, divorce records, things that you want to know about individuals. You'll also get information regarding what they have on social media. Who knows what people put on social media these days, but it may give you some indication as to what their personality may be. You're going to get information about phone numbers, emails that associate with them, and it's just information that you can do even more research on this particular individual. If you have any doubts about anyone in your life or in your neighborhood, this is the place to go, crimetalksearch.com. Get that background subscription done today. Next on the docket, Oregon becomes the first state to legalize magic mushrooms and decriminalize street drugs. Is this a good idea, or are we going to look back in a couple of years and decide that it is a failed experiment? Let me know. So as of today, Oregon is the first state to legalize magic mushroom therapy. I'm going to say I know just a little bit about this, but I believe that it works for some people if it's supervised. I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and take mushrooms without the supervision of some sort of medical personnel. But this new bill that's in Oregon allows trained facilitators to give patients psilocybin, the psychedelic compound in mushrooms as mental health treatment and guide them through trips at licensed centers. Well, the state has also approved a bill that decriminalizes the possession of small amounts of drugs, which include heroin, cocaine, oxycodone, methamphetamine, and obviously marijuana was one of the first drugs decriminalized by the state of Oregon many decades ago. The bill reclassifies these drugs as drug possessions as a civil violation, similar to a traffic offense, which means in this particular case, if you have a small amount of drugs on you, you can be fined $100. The fine is going to fund drug addiction treatment and other drug-related harm reduction programs, which I'm sure they'll have no money for in no time. Needless to say, the district attorneys in Oregon are not happy about it, and they believe that it's going to lead to an increase in crime. Now, let's make something very clear. Possession with intent to distribute drugs, such as heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine, is still a crime. Having more than a few grams is going to be a crime. So you can't get into the business of selling drugs in Oregon because it's still illegal. The bill simply says, if you're a drug user, we're going to get you drug treatment and only charge you $100 because we know, frankly, you don't have any money and it's not really worth sending you to prison because it costs anywhere between $28,000 to $32,000 a year to have somebody in prison. And frankly, over the years with the war on drugs, a lot of states have realized it's simply not a good return on their investment. Now, obviously, a lot of people don't think this is a good idea because there are a lot of collateral consequences that come with drug use. Drug users usually will steal from people to get money for drugs, which includes breaking into people's homes, breaking into people's cars, trying to pawn things, rob people. There's a lot of collateral consequences, but we will see. The states are the great incubators of these great ideas. We'll see whether it's a complete failure or whether it works and others should follow. Let me know what you think will happen in the comments below. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Well, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Copeland, 29, he was pulled over. You notice how all these cases start usually when somebody's pulling over in a vehicle? Well, needless to say, Mr. Copeland was driving without a valid vehicle registration, which of course led to a subsequent search of the vehicle. And what did it turn up? That's right. It turned up some oxycodone pills and a small bag with some methamphetamine residue. Police also discovered what they alleged to be 26 grams of heroin under the driver's seat and 1 gram of the heroin on the passenger side floorboard. Now, Mr. Copeland, being the smart and savvy individual that he is, says, oh, no, 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 that is not heroin. That is a chocolate laxative. That's right, just like X-Lax. The police officers took their hunch and arrested Mr. Copeland, where he remains in jail on a $15,000 bond. There's no indication in the police reports that the presumptive tests came back as heroin at all. It would have been very dangerous for the police simply to have Mr. Copeland swallow what he purports to be as X-Lax, because if it was in fact heroin, well, he could probably overdose from ingesting that much. So we will try to see if we can continue to follow up on this case and see if it turns out to actually be X-Lax or heroin. But either way, Mr. Copeland, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day simply for your quick thinking ability. And if you win the prize for dumb criminal contestant of the week, you will get some cool Crime Talk swag. All right, that's all we have for you today. Please join us this evening, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, here on YouTube. We're going live. We'll be answering all your questions. And please, if you haven't done so already, sign up for Patreon. When you sign up, you'll receive a link that will allow you to participate, and you can actually call in and ask questions, and we'll talk about anything you want to do because, hey, you're a Patreon member. It's your show. Look forward to seeing you all this evening. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.